Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. It's Football Full Circle, FFC, on this fabulous Football Friday. Why not? Right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sports Grid TV. Scott Wetz alongside George Kurtz as we sit in once again for Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi on this fabulous Friday. A lot to get to today. Headlines. We'll go over some of the team NFL over-unders that we started doing earlier in the week. We'll take a peek at the NFC today. We got Caleb Williams doubling down, saying Chicago's no second city. We got the extensions in Minnesota, trade talks in Pittsburgh, hitting the jackpot in Las Vegas. We'll get to it all again, plus our over-unders. What's going on, George? How are you this Friday afternoon?
Doing well, Scotty. You're right. We got another day closer to the NFL season here. You got your OTAs. You know, Micah Parsons didn't show up for Dallas for the voluntary one. So the fun begins, and this is what we'll be talking about for the next couple of months, right? Who showed? Who's not showing? Who wants more money? Who wants this? Who gets hurt?
Yeah, it is amazing. You got to take a step back on some of the stuff and just realize it is OTAs. It is optional. It would be nice. You're in the middle of May. What's going on? Nothing in these people's lives. It is their craft. It is their business. You know, this is how they make their money, to show a little dedication and show up for some of these OTAs. But the bottom line is they don't have to. I think we do make a little bit more of it than what it should. Like, nothing that's going to go on in May, I think, is really going to dictate things on what goes on in September, except your mindset. Maybe you're really just not into it, and you're not going to show up because you really don't care. Maybe that would lead you to think that what happens in May will happen in September. But for the most part, it's really not that big a deal.
I agree. And like I said, it's more just as being training camp. If they're willing to eat the $50,000 a day, then okay. You know, then they're serious about this. You know, we talked about Kirk Cousins, I believe, on Tuesday show, or Wednesday show, whatever it was here. Let's say Micah Parsons wants more money. You know, Watt's not there for Pittsburgh. We're all talking about Aaron Rodgers. TJ Watt's not part of make.
Yeah, crazy. Speaking of Pittsburgh, trade talks with my beloved Miami Dolphins. I don't know what this Dolphin dopey team is doing, George. They got a tight end, and as a Dolphin fan, I saw most of their games last year. This Juju Smith dude, he's good. He's good. I mean, he's the second leading receiver. In fact, he's the number one leading receiver as far as receptions go, second in yards for the Dolphins, with 88 receptions. And that's more than Tyreek Hill, who only had 81, and they both played 17 games. That shows how good this guy is. He wants more money. Everybody wants more money. That's life in the NFL. You appease the guy. Give him another. He's making $4 million this year. He's well-deserving of doubling that, tripling that. And the Dolphins are saying no, and now they're talking to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have 5,000, oh, by the way, tight ends. I'm not sure what they really need with another tight end. I'm trying to figure out what this Dolphin team is doing. Yeah, I just they want to trade Jalen Ramsey. They don't trade Tyreek Hill, but they tell the whole world they'd be willing to trade him if they got two number ones. They're holding on to Tua Tagovailoa for whatever reason. They're holding on to the head coach for whatever reason. They're holding on to the dopey GM, Chris Greer, who's awful, for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm just hoping they're just trying to dismantle the whole thing and fire everybody, but I just don't get why in the world. You know how these NFL trades go. You never get true value. They're going to get like a third or fourth round pick for Jonnu Smith, and he's a terrific player. Doesn't make any sense.
I agree with on both sides of the argument here. I don't know why. Listen, you want to talk trade, fine. You know, everyone's tradable. If you want to see what's out there, what you could get for them, I don't have an issue with that. You know, but you're right. You're not getting a third or fourth round pick. If you were, yeah, then you trade Juju Smith. All right, that's no problem. I would do that in a heartbeat. And I don't understand from Pittsburgh's point of view either. Freiermuth's pretty good. And you have others there. I mean, Smith would be an upgrade, but we're not talking, oh, you got Smith, you're going to the Super Bowl. You know, we're not talking that. So I don't understand this on both sides. I probably understand it on Miami's a little more. Like I said, you can talk trade with everybody, right? Oh, we'll trade Tyreek Hill. We'll trade Jalen. It doesn't mean they are going to trade him. You just want to see what the value is out there. Is someone willing to be stupid is really what this comes down to here. Right. In the end, I think Janu Smith stays. I think they'll, what you use the word, appease? Sure. They'll figure something out there. Maybe they'll throw some incentives in, add another year, whatever it might be. But I don't see him being traded because I just don't see the value going to be out there to get anything. What are you going to get, a sixth to give a seventh back? What's the point of that?
Right. See, it's the mindset of the Dolphin team that's frustrating. 2-3 years ago, they were adding on players like that. They were picking up the Jalen Ramsey of the world, telling the world, the football world, hey, we're trying to win right now. It was, you know, not a destination place, but they showed, new head coach, basically, Tua showed a little promise that they wanted to be really Super Bowl contenders. Teams that don't want to win Super Bowls trade away guys like Ramsey and trade away guys like Smith. And it's just a bad sign. It's just another bad sign for this Dolphin team. Like I said, I don't know what they're trying to do. You know, what would be the point of the trade? Even if you got a second or third, which you might not. You want to get number one, okay, but you're not going to get number one for him. I just don't understand why you want to tear the team down. You got a lame duck head coach. You got a quarterback. You don't know if he's coming or going, unless they just give it up on the season already. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, and in Pittsburgh, there's some buzz about Pittsburgh trying to get another wide receiver too. Maybe they can't get a wide receiver, so they're going to bring in Smith instead. But there was a report, one of the guys on Twitter, you know how that goes, but still, that they were talking with some teams about getting another wide receiver to go alongside DK Metcalf. To appease Aaron Rodgers, maybe?
Well, that would certainly help. I mean, maybe what are you going to get, Lazard? Are you going to trade for Lazard from all the Jets here? Is that what Aaron Rodgers wants to go there? I mean, are we going to get stupid again with this? The more and more you look at this, Terry Bradshaw is right. What's Pittsburgh doing here? Move on already. All right, talk to Atlanta about Kirk Cousins. At this rate, he may not be as good as Rodgers, but he's not that far behind either. All right, neither one's going to really bring you to where you want to go. But I just don't know why Pittsburgh keeps going through this charade with Aaron Rodgers, who obviously doesn't want to play there. If he wanted to play there, he'd be signed already. All right, what's going on here? All right, so he doesn't want to be with you. I don't know why you're devaluing your, your history, your lure by trying to appease to Rodgers, who's well past his prime. Well, it's not like he's 32 Aaron Rodgers. He's 41 years old here. What are you expecting out of him? I don't understand what's going on here. But like I said, the more and more I think about it, the more Terry Bradshaw, I think, has a great point here. What do you say? Tell him to go eat bark and whatever and stare at the moon god.
Talk to the gods or something like that. Yeah. I did see a tweet, someone from the Pittsburgh organization. Not organization. I shouldn't say that. But someone that covers the Pittsburgh Steelers or Pittsburgh, you know, one of those, you know, websites. They put out a poll for Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Who do they want to be their starting quarterback next year? And Aaron Rodgers did win. But interestingly enough, Kirk Cousins had 2% of the vote. Like nobody. I would have thought he would have gotten a little bit more than that. Maybe not win, but having his name as one of the four, it was Rodgers, Ben Rudolph, or Mason Rudolph. I forget who the third one was. And then it was Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins only got 2% of the vote. I don't know what you're going to get out of Kirk Cousins. I don't know. Was last year a blip? Did he not fully recover from his Achilles injury? Is he really done? Is he going to be a Falcon? But I thought that was kind of funny. He only got 2% of the vote. I don't have any voters, but still, 2% is 2%. Did you get a chance to watch the Caleb Williams press conference at all, or at least read excerpts of it from yesterday? We didn't talk about
yesterday. I saw it. It seems to me like someone got a hold of him and goes, listen, you got to backtrack on this, buddy. All right. You can't tell you can't say no one taught you how to read film. You don't know how. You got to backtrack a little bit. It seems like the PR person got a hold of him. And I don't care one way or the other, by the way. I just don't care. All right. Could they be so, would they assume he knew how to read film and they didn't want to watch it with them? I find that weird. Very weird that a coach is not watching film with you at times to point out. Isn't that what you drop it as a coach, Scott? To point out, listen, this is zone defense. This is what the safety was doing when you dropped back here. You got to look for this as far as a two-man zone, three, they're playing quarters here. You know, I find that hard to believe that the coaching staff wasn't working with them. Hard to believe that. Maybe not as well as they should. Let's face it, Eberflus was a defensive coach, you know, so maybe it was more about the defense here, but I have a hard time believing no one sat down with this kid. No one. Yeah. All right, so I'm not really buying that at all anyway.
He doubled down on stupidity. You know, it's amazing. He's a well-spoken person. You could see him think of his thoughts on what he wants to say. But, you know, it's about the Chicago stuff and being a Chicago Bear. If you didn't see it, he just, like I said, he doubled down on stupidity. You know, he's reasoning. He didn't mean what he said, but he actually said what he meant. That's kind of what he was saying yesterday. We'll talk more about it week back. Football full circle. FFC here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is football full circle here on the grid. Scott and George sitting in for the next 50 minutes or so, going over some of the things, some of the headlines, and then we'll get into some of the team over-unders. We were just addressing the Caleb Williams press conference from Wednesday. Didn't get to it yesterday, so I looked into it a little bit more today and yesterday, George. And just like I said before the break, he kind of like doubled down on stupidity by saying, yeah, I said those things, but I didn't mean those things, but I did mean what I said. I mean, he was like talking in circles. It's almost like he thought, and he even said this, those were just my thoughts. Well, duh, I know those were your thoughts. He reasoned that as like, you don't have to take me seriously. Those are just my thoughts. So I didn't necessarily say that, but those were my thoughts. It's like, yeah, hello. We know those are your thoughts, you dope. You told the reporter those thoughts. You can't now say, well, don't hold me to those things because I was just thinking those things. You know, like, he didn't know. It was very weird watching him speak. He's trying to backtrack, and yet he got deeper and deeper. You know, he said, well, listen, we all know the quarterbacks here definitely stunk, you know, in Chicago, haven't had a 4,000-yard passer. And that may be, but you have had a Super Bowl, for goodness sakes. You know, you've had some decent quarterbacks. You had your Jay Cutlers. It hasn't been necessarily a quarterback haven, I'll grant you that, but they've had Super Bowl winners and everything else, and he was, like I said, trying to get out from what was said in the book by kind of justifying everything he said, but ultimately tried to excuse it as, but in the bottom line is I wanted to be here. But you can't do that. You're not 12, right? This is not the peak of high. You know, you played football in Chicago. You played football in USC. You've had reporters. You've talked to reporters numerous times. You know what you're saying. You're talking to a book guy. You know he's trying to sell books. When you tell the world that the Bears quarterback situation sucks, you know, for an hour, and then the final minute you say, but I want to be here, that's not going to wipe away the first hour of thoughts. And that's what he couldn't come to grips with yesterday in his, or Wednesday in his press conference.
And it's a shame because the Bears have had a good offseason, right? I mean, nothing's won in the offseason, I get that. But they're a top five team this offseason as far as the moves they've made. You hired what we think is going to be a good head coach, right? You fixed the offensive line, which was a disaster last year. I mean, you always felt bad for him. And I mean, it was hike and then run for your life because, you know, it was a jailbreak every snap here. You drafted the wide receiver, Luther Bird. You got DJ Moore. You had the receiver from last year, Adunze. You get Colston Loveland, right, from a tight end who, you know, theoretically, this team should be able to move the football. All right, the running game, okay, you don't have a great back here. You have average running backs in Swift and Roschon Johnson here. Defense is good. They should make an improvement. But then it seems like as soon as that was over, you know, if we find out, you know, what his father said, he never wanted to be with Chicago, whatever came up. Why would you say that, by the way? Yeah. I mean, are you trying to sabotage your son? What are you doing here? And he's like, ever since then, now that they're in, you know, they're almost in like self-preservation mode. Oh, God, you know, how can we do this? That's why I'm surprised a PR person hasn't gotten a hold of him. Listen, this is what you say. It'll be a story for a day or two, and then we'll move on. It's June, right? They'll move on. All right, but the fact that this is still going on here is somewhat concerning here. But it's also, hey, it's May 30th. They're looking for stories as well, right? Because there's not much out there in the football world right now, right? And we all know June is the deadest time in the NFL because that's when, you know, the OTAs have just ended and it's before training camp starts. So they're looking for stories here. But I'm just surprised the PR person hasn't gotten a hold of them and said, listen, this is all you say. That's it. We move on. And they haven't done that yet. It's they keep pouring gas on the fire.
Yeah, even with the watching the video, right? You know, in the book, he says, no one tells me what to watch. I just turn it on, you know, basically being all by himself. So then on Wednesday, he says, it wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was more or less the sense of learning ways to watch the film. Well, that's saying you don't know how to watch the film. You know, yes, that's exactly it. You know, no one taught you, for better or worse, apparently, anyway. No one sat down and explained to you what you should be looking for to watch the film. You can't say that's not the case and then the very next sentence say, well, I just needed to learn ways to get things from watching the film.
You referee basketball, I referee hockey, and this must have happened to you at times, where someone would complain about a penalty that I called, and then explain what they did, and I'm like,
yeah, that is exactly
what you did, and that's a penalty. Yeah. You know, that's why the iron went off. That's why you're sitting in the box. It's the old Herm Edwards thing, right? Think before you hit send. Well, you know, think before you talk. If you don't know what you're going to say, then say very little. All right, be Derek Jeter. I think about Gene. Never got in trouble with the media because he said nothing. He literally said nothing. He talked but said nothing. You know, and be that way. That's fine. You can do that and get away with it. Just don't go, L foot and L mouth is not going to be very good.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I used to cover the Yankees for WFAN when he was first coming up, three, four, 5 years, whatever it was. And just as boring as a box of rocks. Just like, I always never could imagine him being the team captain, because when I was with them, you know, as far as covering the team, it was just like, that guy's a team captain. He said nothing, you know? You almost regretted going over there. You had to, because it's Derek Jeter, but it's just like, I know I'm not going to get anything out of this. So they should have just told Caleb Williams, listen, go there and just say, all this happened before I played with the Bears. I love being here. Got taken out of, you know, give us the old BS. I got taken out of context. It's not that I didn't think the Bears were any good. I wanted to be here, blah, blah, blah. Second city, Chicago. It's a great city and everything else. My father, you know, should have said some of the things he said. Of course, I want to be here. I signed the contract, everything else. I could have held out. I could have, bring up things you could have done. I could have held out. I could have pulled an Eli Manning. I could have pulled a John Elway. I didn't. So, you know, I wanted to be here. But he didn't. He had, like I said, just added more fuel to the fire. But we'll see. But you said you liked them, right? And you think the Bears, and I think the Bears are going to be better this year. Tough division. I think they're going to be better than Minnesota. I don't know if they're going to be good as Green Bay or Detroit, but I think I loved what they did in the offseason, improving the offensive line. One year better, he should be better. So I do think the Bears are going to challenge for a playoff spot.
I do as well, but you also set the key point there. That's the best division in football. All right, I think they're better than Minnesota too, but Minnesota's not bad. All right, we just don't know about J.J. McCarthy. And McCarthy, by the way, hits the ground running. They're a good team too. So it's going to be a problem there. But I just like what they've done. They're heading in the right direction. You can't fix everything in one offseason, but they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. All right, quick little break. We'll come back. Las Vegas hitting the jackpot. How about that? And words from Justin Fields that you hope New York Jet fans will be saying by weeks number 3, 4, 5 of the NFL season. That's coming up next. Football full circle here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle here on the grid, cruising along for this 1 hour of football news. Scott and George on FFC. So, Justin Fields, New York Jets quarterback, signs a 2-year deal the offseason, right around $20 million a year, anointed the starting quarterback. They go from the pot to the frying pan, as the saying goes, from Aaron Rodgers last year to Justin Fields this year. Pick your poison. But he said yesterday, George, I think I can be great. That's been the goal of me for my whole life. Nice English. My whole career. I think the sky's the limit for this team, for this offense, but we do have a long way to go. The offense does have some weapons. So, you know, I like their wide receiving core, like their running back core. I liked it last year, and look what happened. The quarterback held them back. And I'm not a believer in Justin Fields. I'm just not. You could count on one hand over the last 10 years how many quarterbacks turned good entering year number 4 or 5, whatever it is for Fields, 5, I guess it would be, right? Generally speaking, if you're good, you're going to be good in years 1, 2, or 3. You make some improvements, but you don't go from mediocre at best. Maybe he's a bench guy last year, to all of a sudden being great in years number 5 and 6. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. You think it would because it's so complicated, but it just doesn't. I think I like the Jets team total over just because it's so low, But do I think they're going to be great? Do I think Justin Fields will be the quarterback next year for the New York Jets? No, I don't. And that's the benchmark.
A couple of thoughts on this. I have no problem with Fields saying he thinks it can be great. Is it true? No. But what's he going to say? Well, you know, I think I'm going to be mediocre. I might suck. You know, I don't know. Right. I don't have great. I mean, what's he going to say? They all say this is like, you know, everyone's in the best shape of their career in training camp, right? They're all that baseball, football, hockey, basketball. They're all in great shape. I think, listen, I am higher on Fields than you, but that's not saying much. I'm just higher than you are. I don't feel he's going to be. My problem is I don't think he's been given a fair chance. And what I mean by that, Scotty, is if you have Fields, you need to develop your offense around him. You have to have a moving pocket. You cannot have 3, 5, 7 foot drops, play after play after play after play. That's not going to work with him. All right? You need to be an offense specifically designed for him. And that's always been my issue here. They've tried to make him something he's not, which, by the way, drives me insane in the NFL with every player. When you draft somebody or you sign somebody, you trade for somebody, and then you want to fit, you know, the square peg into a round hole. You know, your offense should be tailored around him, not the other way around. That's his skills. You need to make your offense work around him. So that's my issue here. Will the Jets tailor their offense around him? And in some ways, by the way, they have no choice because that offensive line is not good. All right, so they need him to move anyway. Yeah, they're going to need him to use their legs, so they need to do with that anyway here. So I have more hope than you about Fields, but do I think he's going to be, oh, wow, you know, he's the next guy? No, I don't think he's going to be that, but I think he can be somewhat serviceable.
Does that mean a playoff spot? Challenge for a playoff spot?
No. No, seven teams make it. I guess theoretically you could challenge.
Is he the quarterback next year? Is he going to be the quarterback next year?
That's the right question. That's the right question here. I think he's going to screw the Jets over in some ways because they won't be a top 8 pick. You know, they'll be out of that range. Where now, if you want one of those top quarterbacks, you've got to trade multiple assets. You know, probably multiple draft picks to move up. So I that's where, you know, he's just good enough to screw you. Probably not good enough to get you a playoff. I don't see that in the AFC. Bills are going to win the division. What is there, 4 wild card teams now? I mean, you're talking about Cincinnati, Miami. No, you know, it's not out of the realm. Chargers, Denver.
Broncos, they could be.
Someone will sneak in that we don't expect. So they could be in that mix. If things go well, if they're healthy, maybe. You know, maybe. I probably don't see it, but I don't think they'll be out of the picture in December. How about that? They may fall out of it in December, but I think going into December, they'll still be in the picture.
I did. There's 2 real questions. One, will he be the quarterback ultimately next year? And that really tells you how well he'll play this season, right? And 2, how long of a leash does he have? Because the backup, Tyrod Taylor, is not great, but, you know, he's serviceable. But he's not a scrambler like Fields is. So you're putting in this offense to you know, help Justin Fields. He stinks for 3, 4, 5 games. Then you bring in Tyrod Taylor, who's more of a dropback guy.
And that's also, you can't do that.
7, 8, 9 wins. Yeah. And then
just that's what I mean about the offense, though. If you have Justin Fields, your backup has to be a mobile quarterback, too. You can't have 2 different offenses. This is what always happens with him, and it screws him up. This is what you cannot do. And Tyrod Taylor, by the way, if he's quarterbacking, then the Jets just suck.
Yeah. They're starting 4 games. Pittsburgh, rivalry game. Buffalo, at Tampa, at Miami. They're looking down the barrel of a 1-3 start.
1-3.
So, yeah. All right, more coming up. Football full circle here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football full circle here on the grid on this fabulous Friday. Scott and George in for Ben and Joe. Talk a little NFL. We'll get to some team total over-unders. 2 quick little headlines here. Minnesota extended the contract for general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, which, you know, go in line with giving the contract extension, a month or so ago for Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. So that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, I have no issues. You know, they're trying. They've kept that team afloat. Haven't gotten to the Super Bowl or anything crazy like that. But You know, we'll see how well J.J. McCarthy is. So I'm okay with that. No, nothing crazy there. And then raving reviews so far out of Las Vegas for Geno Smith. I might be the only guy in America that likes Geno Smith as a quarterback. I thought he got a raw deal, you know, with the Jets. He showed some, in Seattle. I think he will upgrade the Las Vegas. I think it's above the mediocre line. You know, you can get to 8 or 9 wins. I think he's above that. I think he'll get you 9-10 wins, which is why, you know, led Seattle to the postseason the last couple of years. I don't know if Vegas is a postseason team at this point, but I did like that move of just getting yourself at least back into the competitive mode with Las Vegas. And Jacoby Myers was raving about him yesterday, George, saying how great he is and this, that, what have you. So Vegas might be a surprise little team. Well, yeah, tough division, right? If Vegas actually is good, boy, you're in a division with Kansas City, you know, is good. The Chargers, you know, is good. And then the Broncos are, you know, obviously made the postseason last year. That, you talk about a tough division. That would be a monster division if the Raiders got good.
It's why the NFC East is in so much trouble, because they're playing the NFC North, which is another great division, and the AFC West. It's why the Eagles, like I said, I don't see them having that number one seed this year at all. Or the Washington Commanders, for that matter, the two best teams in the East here. I agree with you about the Raiders. Geno Smith, my problem with Geno Smith, and I agree with what you said. He makes them better, of course. Scott, you could be a quarterback for the Raiders. They'll be better. All right, what was it? Yeah. You know, who's quarterback? Gordon, Gardner Minshew, and whoever else? The other, O'Connell? God, that's terrible.
And O'Connell.
That.
Yeah.
Right. That's he'll definitely make them better here. My problem with Geno is he's sort of Kirk Cousins. There's a limit to how far he's going to take you. And Fourth, when it came down to crunch time, I watched a lot of Geno's games last year. Once again, just a fantasy player in me. I had him on my main fantasy team. You know, you want touchdown passes, and you look in those games late where you need that extra pass. Fourth quarter, he makes some. What are you doing? What did you see that you threw that ball? And it's only during crunch time. It seems like he does that. Like he's another guy who doesn't perform well when the pressure is really there. All right, and that's an issue with him. I said I had that issue with Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, same sort of thing. Dak is more the playoffs than regular season. Geno was the regular season. So I agree with everything you said. I think they're a better team. I think he makes them better, but I think, you know, 8-9 wins is probably the max he's going to be able to get you there. And it's not all him, by the way. It's because you play him at the division. It's a rough schedule there. And they could still be a much improved team, yet still be last.
Yeah, it'll be tough. And in that division especially, they got a lot of tough games. You know, I'd like to see how many games teams have against playoff teams from the year before. And then being a last place team, you think the number would be low, but not when you're playing Chargers, Broncos, and Chiefs. Then they're 6 right there before you even start. You're out of conference or out of division games. So NFC, we did the AFC yesterday on Wednesday. So let's take a peek at some of the NFC teams here, George. We'll start in the East with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Not a bad schedule, all things considered. They do have 11 games against playoff teams from last year. That's going to happen, right, with the first place schedule. They only have 2 back-to-back road trip games, and neither one is very far. I think Philadelphia and Washington, New York and Washington was one of them, and then there was another 2 close, or relatively close one, Buffalo, and I think one other. Surprisingly enough to me, 6 1 o'clock games. That's a lot of 1 o'clock games for a Super Bowl champ. 7 in primetime, no real gauntlet, you know, schedule, and something I've seen a lot this year. I don't know why, but they close out the year at Washington, Buffalo, Washington. All right, that's a decent little gauntlet. My biggest issue with it is, and like I said, I've seen this 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and that is they're playing the best team theoretically in the NFC East, right? Washington twice in a 3-week span, which is dumb, and then at the end of the year, which is stupid to me. And like I said, I've seen this 5 or 6 times around the NFL. I don't know why the NFL can't figure out a way to split the 2 best teams and have them play first, you know, 6 weeks of the season, and then one more time in the last 6 weeks of the season. They got to put them in sandwich between a Buffalo game. That to me is dumb. When that, you know, those games could decide the division. I don't think they should be that close. But overall, though, their number's 11.5. It's even. They were 14-3 last year. I know they got their target on their back, but I think they get 12 wins. I think they go at least 12-5, even with that schedule of all those playoff teams.
Now, it's funny, when you first brought up Philadelphia, the first thing I was going to complain about was the Washington games. And that is, it's just, I'm a big believer, listen, division games, are A, no division game should be on a Thursday. That is idiotic in my mind. No team should have an advantage of having a Thursday home game against in a division. Just shouldn't happen here. And then it should be one in the first half and one in the second half. All right, that's the way it's fair. What if those games Washington for Philadelphia? What if Jalen Hurts is down? Saquon Barkley's hurt.
Right.
And he missed both games. You know, because he's out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and he misses both those games here. It's not right. It's not fair. And it probably are somebody will be hurt that'll miss both games here. One game in the first half, one game in the second half. But you know, whatever. I have a lot of complaints about the NFL schedule. A lot of complaints the way they do things. Just once again, and I mentioned the other in the week that Joe Burrow complained that I think it's the third or fourth year in a row that right. Cincinnati's traveling to Baltimore on a Thursday night. By the way, the NFL actually admitted, he probably has a point there. So that probably won't happen next year. The schedule, like I said, you open up against Dallas, Kansas City. I mean, Rams, Tampa, Denver. You get a little break here. Giants, Minnesota, Giants. Then you get your bye. They have a nice bye in the middle, which is always nice here. And by the way, why doesn't the entire division get the same bye week? It's another one of my little complaints. Eight bye weeks, eight divisions. Yeah. There you go. Problem solved. And by the way, the week after the bye, they play each other. This way, no one gets an extra rest here. It's not that hard, NFL. It's really not that hard. Green Bay, Detroit, Dallas again, Chicago. I mean, you said the schedule is brutal here because they finished first, playing the North, playing the West here. I think they get the 12-2. They're just a really good team. And hey, we didn't ban the tush push. It will get banned. It's just a matter of time. Right. They want this. Goodell wants this gone. So it's going to go. The worst thing for Philadelphia, by the way, was when they played Washington in the playoffs. Remember that series of plays where they're doing the tush push at the one?
The goal
that
line.
Was the worst thing for the Eagles because it brought it to a head where there's nothing's going on here. It's getting boring. The ref is threatening to award a touchdown with no play. All right. That was the worst thing that happened to the Eagles. They should have just snapped the ball so that this didn't get brought up here. In the end, it is what it is. Eagles are a really good team. Probably still my favorite to come out of the NFC. I just don't think it's going to be. I just don't think they'll get home field because of the schedule they play here. They're going to lose. You know, hey, you're playing Green Bay, you're playing Detroit, you're playing Buffalo, you play Washington twice. I mean, you're not going to win all those games.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them to get home field advantage. It will. So, Dallas, your Cowgirls, 7.5 minus 145 on FanDuel anyway to the over. 7-10 last year, and I say that optimistically only because everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, losing the quarterback, everything else, and they still got 7 wins. Now everyone's healthy, and it's 7.5. They got 10 games against playoff teams, which is a lot. 4-2 road games start of the season, first 6 weeks. That's not easy. They have a stretch there of Philadelphia, Kansas City at Detroit in November. That's going to be brutal. 7 times in primetime, so we're gonna see them a lot. And then they got 5 more 4 o'clock games. So that's 12 games out of the 16 that they have times 4. Everyone has it to be determined last week. 12 out of 16 times we're going to be turning out our TV set, being able to watch the Dallas Cowboys. So that you know, you're going to get sick and tired of them for better or worse. But I like Dallas, maybe not Super Bowl contenders, but I think they challenge for a playoff spot, and I do like their over.
Agree with both. And by the way, I'm not a homer. Anybody knows me knows I kill the Cowboys on a regular basis here. They will never win the Super Bowl with Jerry Jones. Not going to happen here. But I think they're a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. I think they'll challenge for a playoff spot. Not the division, though.
Right. Football full circle. We got a couple more in the NFC East. And we'll take a look at the NFC North when we come back. Football full circle, FFC, here on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30%. Stop it!
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
FFC football full circle out of Friday. Scott and George going over some NFC over unders. Left off with Dallas, Washington Commanders, 9.5. They were 12-5 last year, so this is a drop down, obviously, for the 12 they got last season. Only 8 games against playoff teams from last season, oddly enough. 2 back-to-back road games. They got a little gauntlet again. Here's another one of those situations. I told you, I found 5, 6, or 7 of them. They close out the season, George, Philadelphia, Dallas, Philadelphia. That's obviously the one we talked about with Philadelphia versus Washington. Just doesn't make any sense to me, but it is what it is. 9.5. I did think they were going to regress this year. They have the one less home game. Remember, it's the NFC that only has the 8 home games. So I'm thinking they're going to go under 9.5. Not by a lot, but I don't think they get to 10. They won 5 games to close out last season before the Eagles debacle in the playoffs. That came on the last play of the game. 5. That's a lot of close wins. That stuff generally doesn't duplicate itself. They got a lot of breaks. We know with the Bears game and everything else. So I don't think they get to 10. I think they get to 9, unfortunately.
I'll also back up your point a little bit. I believe it was almost the last 7 games of last season. They played nothing but backup quarterbacks. All right. I mean, they got... It worked out. It worked out very well. I think Warren Sharp broke this down here, where they played nobody. You know, they played Cooper Rush twice for the Cowboys. It just had to be that they got lucky in the teams they played that they hurt at the time, the quarterbacks. That being said, I think they are an improving team, no doubt. I like where they're going. Williams is a Daniels. I'm sorry, is a problem. You know, and I say that as a Cowboy fan, he's a problem. All right, because he is a dual threat there. They should get better. How does Debo fit in here, Scott? I mean, is he still that declining player, or did he need a change of scenery here? Is he going to be that multi-weapon there? So I'm curious to see how they can use him here. The schedule tells me that they'll be all right. You know, getting double digits is not going to be easy. They didn't need to get up to a good start. You play with Giants week 1, shouldn't be a problem. Green Bay area, probably not. Vegas, Atlanta, Chargers, Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit, Miami, that's somewhere in Europe. Denver, Minnesota. I mean, the schedule is brutal. It's just brutal. This is for every NFC East team. You know, they're all going to go through. There's not too many games. And I know it's when we lose the schedule, go win, that's kind of stupid. I get that. But there's not too many games there where I'm going, definite win, definite win. I'll give you the 2 Giant games. Those are the only 2 games in the schedule that I would say definite win. Yeah, do I think you're going to beat the Raiders at home? Sure, I think you beat the Raiders at home, but I wouldn't say it's a definite win. We think the Raiders are a good team. Minnesota on the road, totally about McCarthy, how well we think he's going to be before I give you that win there. So I'm probably going with you here. I think they'll be a better team than last year, but it may be around the 9 win mark and not 11 like a lot of people are predicting here. But I think I still do think they are a playoff team because I think they're a better team than Dallas. So I think they'll get in there, but they. It's another thing that I don't think will challenge Philadelphia for a division.
Yeah, not with that schedule. I have more faith in Philadelphia being able to handle its tough schedule than I do Washington. You said there's just not that many gimme games on there. You know, all their like semi games are all like, you know, Atlanta Falcons could be good. You know, the Raiders, we both think are going to be a little bit better this year. Seattle is halfway decent. Denver, I mean, it's just like one halfway decent team or better on their schedule. So it's going to be tough to duplicate. I hope they do. You know, I love Jalen Daniels, but I think that's going to be a real tough spot for them to be able to get to 10 wins this season. So Giants, we touched on a little bit yesterday. Over-under is 5.5. It's +125 if you want to go with the over, -145 on FanDuel on the under. They were 3-14 last year. They got 10 games against playoff teams, plus a game against San Francisco. So realistically, 11 playoff type of games, 3 sets, not even 1 or 2, 3 sets of back-to-back road games. And they have a gauntlet there of Philadelphia at Denver, at Philadelphia. Again, another situation where they're playing the same team in a division twice in 3 weeks, and then San Francisco. So I want to say over with them. I do, but man, you look at that schedule. Are they gonna, you know, get to 6 wins? Yeah, I don't think so either, George.
I'm not sure they get the 3 wins. Where are the wins?
I don't think they'll be
beating. Who are they beating?
They came at New Orleans.
That's in New Orleans. I'm not giving that. Do I think they'll win that game? Sure, but that's in New Orleans. That's far from a gimme. Where's the next one?
Right.
Come on. Anyone?
At Chicago?
Anyone?
At Chicago?
No, Chicago's a much better team than they are. No. If they were at
Minnesota
home, I don't think they could beat Chicago.
Minnesota at home? All right. If J.J. McCarthy stinks the joint out.
That's the 15th game for Minnesota. I gotta assume McCarthy figures it out by then. But the Giants can be this is not a good team. It's just not a good team. No, the Giants, and they're all gonna be fired by it, which is why I didn't understand bringing back Dable, because with this schedule, by the way, even at the time you were making a decision in January about Dable's future, you had to know your schedule was gonna be brutal. We all knew who you were going to play, we just didn't know the order. All right, that's the only thing we didn't know. And now you're bringing him back. You let him do the draft. You know, trade up off a dart and all this, and you're going to win 3, 4, 5 games anyway. And you're going to fire him anyway in January because the fan base is not going to go through this again and take another 5-12 season at best, and then we'll let you make another draft. So I didn't understand that. Then maybe the new head coach or the new GM doesn't want Jackson Dart. And he just completely wasted that pick. So I just thought that was completely idiotic what the Giants did here. I understand that they didn't want to go through another new head coach, which they're doing every 2 years. I get it. But listen. Outside of the one magical year where Daniel Jones had to, you know, in the contract year, all of a sudden had to play great. You know, the Giants have been a bust now for a long time here. And this season's not getting any better. And by the way, NFL, why on earth does anybody have a bye in week 14? Why? Come on. Right?
They couldn't, give another team, two teams a bye early. Like, God forbid we should have, six teams getting a bye. Like, there's still not enough games to satisfy.
They do that anyway.
Yeah.
There are weeks with six teams, eight teams. We've seen that. I haven't checked, but I bet you if I look, Scotty, I'll find a week where there's only two teams that are on bye. I'll bet you I'll find
that. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Or at least four. Only four. So they clearly could have given. Week 14 is just way too long. So. All right, quick little break. We'll take a peek at the NFC North as we break down over-under team totals here on The Grid. Scott and George in for Ben and Joe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It is football full circle here on the grid. Scott and George going over some NFC team total over unders. Left off with the NFC East. Let's move to the NFC North, where the Detroit Lions, phenomenal season last year, right? Was straight up against the spread with the boys in Vegas. They were just a covering machine, 15-2. Forget about what happened in the postseason, but regular season, they were a tough team, obviously, to beat. This year, though, George, over-under is set at 10.5. That's 4.5 less wins than last season. They got three sets. Here's why. Three sets of back-to-back road games. They got a gauntlet of at Baltimore, Cleveland, at Cincinnati, at Kansas City. You could easily go 2-2 there, right? Tough schedule. They got 11 games against playoff teams. That's what happens when you have a division that has three teams make the postseason. And they have a game against Cincinnati, so that's 12 games against playoff caliber teams. They're in prime time 7 times, 5 1 o'clock games. The rest are 4 o'clock games. Well, that's a tough schedule. But I have enough respect for them where I do think they get 11. And they're not going to get 15 again or 14. Might not even be the number one seed, even with Philadelphia having a similar type of schedule. But I do think they get to 11. I'll give them more credit than that. They lose both their coordinators. I get that, but I'll say they go 11-6.
I think that's fair. All right. I think that's fair. Losing both coordinators will certainly hurt. It'll be an adjustment period there. I know they're bringing in guys who know, they've been with the team, know the players, the system and all that. I get that. We all like Detroit, right? They're a fun team. Jahmyr Gibbs is just, wow, becoming utterly fantastic. They're probably your number one pick in Fantasyland, by the way. Green Bay, Chicago, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Kansas City. I mean, the schedule's tough. It's not impossible, but it is not fun. You know, they're going to be a lot of times be watching. You're going to be watching a lot of Detroit because they're going to be big games that we want to see each and every week here whenever they're playing here. I think 11's fair. I do think 11's fair. I think there's a chance they get to 12 here. I think the only way they would get less than double digits is injuries, which we could say that about every team here. So I do like the Lions. I think they're likely to win that division still, but it's going to be close. It's going to be, except they're not going to win 13-14, so it's going to be close. I think Green Bay, when we go over them, is going to be right around this win total as well.
Yeah. The problem with Detroit this year is they got it reverse. They got all the tough games on the road. They got all the easy games at home. If you're a really good football team like Detroit, you want that the other way around. You want those really tough games. Baltimore at home, Kansas City at home, Cincinnati at home, Philadelphia at home, right? No, not for Detroit this year. All those games, all on the road this season. So that's
for three of the last four on the road, too.
Yeah, three of those four. Rams are on the road as well. Another tough team. Who do they have at home? Anybody, for goodness sake? It's amazing, George, when you have 9 home and 8 road. You wouldn't think that's not that big a deal. But when you look at the schedules of the teams that have the 9 road games, man, it seems like they have 2 or 3 extra road games. It's just like road game after road game after road game for Detroit. Amazing.
It's just Dallas. The only two teams they play that are decent at home be Dallas and Tampa, besides the division games, of course. Other than that, you're right, Dave. Man, schedule makers were not kind to them. That, by the way, when I say that, once again, these are all set. Even next year, we know about, 80% of who you're playing next year in the NFL. So it's not like the NFL decide, oh, we're going to screw the Lions this year. No, this is already set in stone. It's no matter who finishes where. So it is what it is, Dave. But, yeah, the schedule is not kind, to put it nicely here. This is why we're on the air. I said around double digits, around 11, but not anything better than that.
Minnesota's 8.5. Obviously, a whole different situation this year. They were 14-3 last season, but Sam Darnold out, J.J. McCarthy in. They got 2 games in Europe as well, 6 primetime games. They got a gauntlet in October of Philadelphia at the Chargers, at Detroit, Baltimore. Good luck surviving that. They have 3 sets of back-to-back road games. They got 4 road games in 5 weeks in one stretch, plus the Europe trip. So that's a tough, tough schedule. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy, so I'm going to go under. Of course, I wasn't a Sam Darnold guy either, and they got to 14-3. So it's not going to take a whole heck of a lot, but I'll still go under with that schedule.
Yeah, this one's tough because it is all about J.J. McCarthy. Do you believe or do you not believe? You said it. You don't believe here. I kind of don't believe also, by the way, so I'm probably with you on the under. I think his ceiling, his upside would be and he's an NFL quarterback, you know, that sort of thing, but nothing, you know, he's not going to be a franchise guy. Oh, my God, we're facing J.J. McCarthy. We're not going to win today. That sort of thing here. So I'll take the under as well.
Yeah. So, and then you got Green Bay 9.5 and Bears 8.5. We can discuss that, I suppose, next time we get together, which I'm sure won't be too far down the line. So, good job as always, George, working with you. We'll do it again soon. Football full circle on this Friday right here on Sports Grid Radio.